Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord Jesus, let there be light. And dear ones, this is our theme this morning from our epistle lesson, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. Lord Jesus, let there be light. Please be seated. Dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it's very difficult sometimes for us, actually it's very difficult all the time for us, to understand the blindness of human beings. Now, I'm not talking about physical blindness. Yes, today we'll be hearing about spiritual blindness, even from those who say that they're religious, that they're a Christian. People, even religious people, taking Jesus and nailing him to a cross, but then forgetting that he was nailed to the cross. How could people who tried to keep God's law so well, from our text this morning, that would be the Pharisees, how could they thoroughly turn away from their Messiah, from the one who loved them? How blind could they be? How blind can we be? What if we had been there? What if you had been there? Would you have done the same thing? Would you have stood with Jesus? Or would you have stood at his cross and railed against him? How blind would we be, knowing that we are also sinners just as the Pharisees are sinners? And that should lead us to an honest search of the truth. It should allow us, it should show us, that we must look at our own hearts and understand that without Jesus Christ, there can be no light. Without Jesus Christ, there could be no salvation. Without Jesus Christ, there could be no eternity. Lord Jesus, let there be light. That was Paul's concern this morning from our epistle. The Corinthians had heard the gospel from Paul, but then they started hearing another gospel, and they quickly latched on to that gospel, and they forgot about this gospel. They began rejecting the gospel of Jesus. And in rejecting that gospel, they were rejecting the gospel that Paul had been preaching to them. Now we have to understand, as Paul tells us this morning, that he did not doctor the gospel. He did not doctor it so that it would be sound, a pleasing sound to their ears. Paul didn't let honey drip from his lips so that the people in the congregation would be soothed with that soothing balm. No, Paul spoke, he preached law and gospel. In chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, which aren't part of our text, this is what Paul writes. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the opening statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. You see, dear ones, people today and people then, they rejected the gospel. And the gospel is rejected because of the God of this world. Verse 4, again, not part of our text this morning. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Rejection of the gospel originated with the devil. And the devil uses his little minions, his false teachers, to change God's word, to change the gospel. They may think that they're hearing the gospel of God, but they're actually being blinded. They're actually rejecting the gospel, and they don't even realize it. This is the cunning. This is the deception. This is the deceit that Satan speaks through them. It's the God of the world who is responsible for this. And that's why it's so hard for you, and that's why it's so hard for me to speak the truth in love to them. We think that we're speaking the gospel truth, but it's like they're having their fingers in their ears, and their eyes are totally blind. It's because of their mind. Their mind has been blinded. They cannot understand, because in their heart is not the Holy Spirit. There's another spirit, a spirit of deceit, a spirit of lies that will blind them each and every time. Paul tells us, as we come to our text, that this gospel treasure comes to us in earthly vessels for a reason. We may think that the gospel, with all of its power, would be heard by everyone, but it's just not heard by everyone. So Paul tells us this morning, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. How does the gospel come to you? The gospel comes to you, dear ones, in an earthen vessel, in a jar of clay. Each time before I come up here every Sunday, hanging on my office wall is the sacristy prayer. And part of that sacristy prayer says that, Lord, you have chosen this jar of clay. It is a mystery to us why you would choose a sinful human being to proclaim your law and gospel, but this is your way. He does this. He speaks to an earthly jar of clay to show his surpassing power. Dear ones, it's not my power, it is his power. And this power belongs to God. He clearly tells us this. It is not my power, it is his. Therefore, that's why I reject the notion that I must get up here and talk about myself or about you or someone else other than Jesus. I reject that totally, because that is not the gospel. And this is what the Corinthians were being told. Oh, you heard what Paul said, but you can reject that. Don't worry about all that stuff. Let me tell you a better gospel. Let me tell you what you can do. What you can do for Jesus, that you must do this and this and this. And if you do that and that and that, Jesus will be happy with you. And if he's happy with you, he'll open the floodgates of heaven and you'll be rich, rich, rich. You'll have all the money in the world and you'll be happy forever. Rather, they'll be miserable forever. You see, dear ones, the concern about the acceptance of the gospel of Jesus is very, very real. Christians do believe that Jesus is the Savior, or they would not be Christians. How in the world can you say you're a Christian but not believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? How can you say you're a Christian but you don't believe that Jesus was nailed to a cross? How can you be a Christian and say that he didn't die here on the cross? How can you be a Christian and say he never rose? Somewhere in Palestine, somewhere in Israel is his bones, and one day someone will find them. Oh, they'll find his bones one day, but it'll be in the flesh, and then it'll be too late for them. How can a Christian say that Jesus isn't coming back? That's just a fallacy. It's a myth. Don't be concerned about that. Yet this is what teachers are teaching in many Christian churches even today. They are hearing this dribble even today. This is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of Satan. Why? Why are they preaching this? And why do people hear this and believe it? Because many Christians still have this veil over their eyes. They can't see the truth. And when they hear the truth, they just can't accept it. They still believe that they have to measure up. They have to measure up to a certain standard to be acceptable to God. Paul writes for us this morning, "Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Those who hear the gospel of man, they are being veiled. They are being crushed by the law. They cannot see the truth. And that veil has already been removed, but they don't realize it. The veil has been removed from your eyes. You hear the truth. You see the truth. You will see it today. You will hold it. You will touch it. You will taste and you will drink. That's the truth. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There at the font, you are given freedom, dear ones. Why would you want to give up freedom for a gospel that will not save you? For a gospel that will chain you, and those chains will drag you right into the fires of hell. That's because many Christians, even today, still rely on the force of the law to achieve Christian behavior. They are not truly free. They are actually subjected to the law. And we know that the law, as a mirror, shows us our sin, and that sin shows us that we do not deserve the kingdom of God. And that law shows us that if we do not repent, we will be crushed by this law. It's the Son who has set you free. And since the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Why would you allow a devil to shackle you once again with a false gospel where there is no light, but only the darkness of sin, death, and hell? No, the Lord God said, "Let there be light." God has not stopped providing that light to you, dear ones. That's why it's important for you to be here every single Sunday. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God creates and still gives physical light that's obvious to us. But more importantly, He gives us this spiritual light. He shines this light in our hearts. I know a lot of our children know this song, and many of you probably remember it too. "This little gospel light of mine, I will let it shine." Oh, no one wants to sing it? Okay. What's the problem with that song? The gospel light is not mine. The gospel light is His. And He shines that light through me. That's the problem. The gospel light was given to you, and it is the Lord Jesus who is constantly shining this light through you. For if we tried to do this all on our own, that light would not shine whatsoever. But God has given us the light. And this spiritual light we are to shine. And as we shine this gospel light, as it shines through us, it reveals the truth. It reveals the truth to many people. And then the Holy Spirit works on their heart. He convicts them. They repent of their sin. And God, who is faithful and just, forgives them. And He cleanses them from all unrighteousness. God provides this light through the face of Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus, and yes, you will see Him today, you are seeing God's glory. You don't have to look very far. Right here today, there in your hand, into your mouth, into your body. And when you see Jesus, dear one, we see what God has made us to be. He has made us to be His ambassador. He has made us to be His child. And that light will shine through us. The problem is that many people aren't hearing the truth of what this light is. And then they wonder, why aren't people listening to me? Why aren't people coming here? Why aren't people giving? Why aren't I becoming rich? Why is this guy blessed and I'm not? It's because the light is being veiled because of their self-righteousness. God will shine His light on others, yes. And that light shines, dear ones, in a way that the world just cannot accept. It shines and it is revealed to the world in our weaknesses and in our suffering. Many of you are suffering today. I know you're suffering. I have also suffered here recently. All of you know that. It gives us a chance to realize that I am a jar of clay, just as you are a jar of clay. And in our suffering, there the light shines through us. The life as Jesus is seen, His life is seen in our suffering. We are always carrying the body of the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal bodies. There's the Christian life. We suffer. We suffer in death, the death of a loved one. We suffer in death, the death of a dear friend. We suffer in our maladies, our cancers, and our diseases. And we suffer, even in this life itself, those aches and pains of life, arguments with our spouse, disagreements with our children, disagreements within our family. The suffering will not stop until the Lord returns. But this suffering is for a purpose. This suffering turns our eyes away from ourselves and turns our eyes to Jesus. And as we focus on Him, we see what He has done for us, and we see that He is present to speak the truth to us. That yes, dear one, even in your suffering, I am with you and I will not forsake you. I will come to you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will serve you body and blood to strengthen your weakened faith. And in receiving my body and blood, know and believe that your sin is forgiven. That's the importance, dear ones, of being here. That's the importance of the light shining. Lord Jesus, let there be light. Let that light shine through us. And Lord Jesus, as your light shines through us, help me, Lord. Help me to understand that you are with me, that I am your child, and today you serve me. And today I hear and I believe that all my sin is forgiven. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.